It's Topics of Great Importance. And on today's show, we're talking all things Christmas. That's right, settle in as we debate some of the best and worst Christmas songs, the best and worst Christmas movies, and what kind of drinks the cast of The Departed would indulge in during the Christmas season. Welcome to Togi, everybody. Keo Edmondson.
Yes.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. I just got a haircut.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is always exciting.
It looks good.
I feel like in the winter it grows faster, like twice as fast as other times of the year where it also grows pretty fast.
If you were to explain that scientifically, what do you think is the reason why your hair grows so fast?
My head is cold. And my body says, let's just grow some more hair. It only grows, it doesn't grow like around my face much, as much as I think it should.
That's what you would really like.
A thicker beard, yes.
You'd like a good fur coat.
Nah.
To cover yourself.
I settle for a decent amount of facial hair. Not just like patchy high schooler hair, you know, catfish looking type facial hair, mustache stuff.
Some people aren't blessed with that hirsute gene.
Nope. I'm certainly not. At least I didn't get a lot of it. That, and then I got some hairy calves.
You do.
You have hairy calves.
Hairy calves. Yeah. Yep. It's an interesting phenomenon because you don't have, like, this is the thing that always is interesting to me, is that, like, you have, like, a hairy part of your arms and a not hairy part of your arms. Like,
yes.
A hairy part of your legs and,
the
like,
lower,
a not hairy
yes. It's like
part
the,
of your legs.
There's a character on the old Popeye cartoon called Alice, she was like a Neanderthal. Anyway, she had those type of, yeah, maybe furry leggings. That's what she had. And that's what I have.
And you just really relate to Alice on
Alice
a deep level.
Quite a bit, yep.
Yeah.
She's pretty awesome.
Okay.
A hero.
Okay, here's my first question to you straight out the gate. I want to know, holiday drinks are a thing. You know,
you go to
Starbucks and they have all these kinds of caramel and peppermint, you know,
yeah.
All this kind of stuff that comes out.
Pumpkin spice.
Works yeah.
its way.
Yeah,
every
PSL.
Every aisle at Trader Joe's has the pumpkin spice.
Yeah, and like they do weird stuff with pumpkin spice too. It's like things that have no business having pumpkin spice or pumpkin spice. What's the weirdest thing you can imagine being pumpkin spice? Like, if you were an evil inventor, and this isn't even my question, but I'm just going to throw it out there. If you were, like, an evil mad scientist, what would be the thing you would put pumpkin spice as?
Underarm deodorant.
Oh! Yeah.
Because it's already kind of bad, because I think you have deodorants that already smell like, ooh, that. It's bad enough when people say, ooh, you smell really good. Well, that's my deodorant that you're smelling, because I'm not wearing Paco Rabanne or, you know.
Paco Rabanne? Did you make that up? Is that a real thing?
No, I am probably mispronouncing it, but I'm trying to name off all the colognes I remember.
Okay.
Fahrenheit or Cool Water.
I'm pretty sure you're making up every single one of these.
Old Spice.
I've heard of Old Spice.
There's a Stetson cologne.
Stetson, like the hat?
For men, yeah. That was the one that
sounds
all
manly.
The,
does it smell like meat?
The,
just like dead carcasses?
It smells like
a farm. It smells like friggin' Harris Ranch.
Smells like rubbing alcohol and a little bit of, yeah. Maybe leather. I don't know.
Sweat and pure American grit.
Probably like a lasso and a guy on a horse. I'm sure they still sell this stuff, but nowadays a lot of, you know, unless you're wearing Axe or something, you don't wear a lot of very fragrant things.
Ugh,
so you're
listen, let me tell you, as a person who teaches college students, Axe is a particular scourge.
So yeah, so why doesn't
society.
Axe come out
with a holiday
Christmas
scent?
Holiday scents that all the guys, because they'd get a lot of compliments, or they'd get not so much compliments. They might get more compliments.
You think dudes should just walk around smelling like pumpkin spice?
Yeah, because people would be like, oh, that smells great, because it's the holidays and you're expecting to get hit by these holiday scents.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't mind. You know, like, if you went into, okay, let's say a stinky Uber or taxi cab, and they had a very strong, you know, cranberry flavor instead of the cherry, you'd be like, ooh, how festive. And not just smelly.
I don't even know what a cranberry smells like. That's what you think of as your festive scent?
Oh, well, what would I mean? Or pumpkin spice? Put pumpkin spice car freshener into the cars, every car.
Yeah.
So that when you, because you're used to, you're like, oh, I'm gonna breathe in when I get in. I know they're covering up smoke or something. Yeah. BO with cherry. But what if you went into that car? That they took the baby carrier out, the baby seat out. And so whatever smell they're using, you want it, and it's a piney Christmas wreath. And that was the smell. You're like, ooh, how festive. Same with Axe. They need to make piney Christmas wreath and pumpkin spice and Axe flavor so that at least during the Christmas holidays, some guys get the recognition for wearing their deodorant that they've been pining for.
Oh, I see what you did there.
All year.
Okay.
That's fair. You heard it here first.
Yeah. All right. Copyright Keo Edmondson.
You Axe
2017.
Axe Scentologists. You.
Scentologists.
There's a name for them.
That sounds like science. Okay. So to go back to the question I was originally aiming at, the Christmas drinks.
Drinks.
What I want to know is what you think certain celebrities would drink in terms of their holiday drinks. If you think about going to Starbucks, and you can create your own for that matter, what kind of concoction you think they would have. But specifically, I'm curious about the cast of The Departed. A specific treasure, a film that is very important to me
and my life. Is it a Christmas film?
No. It's just these are the people that, off the top of my head, maybe a Christmas film is too obvious. You know, I'm not going to ask you what Clark Griswold would drink. That's too obvious. I want to know what these Boston Southie ass mobsters are going to drink. So first and foremost, what would Mark Wahlberg
Sam Adams. Drink?
Sam Adams.
Christmas drink. Sam Adams.
You are 100% correct. I feel fine saying that's accurate.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg drinks the Sam Adams Christmas blend.
It's always ready.
Absolutely.
Or straight up regular Sam Adams.
Sam Adams. He's like, this is it's
Boston Strong all year long.
Yeah, that's fair to me. Okay, fair enough. Jack Nicholson. What's he drinking?
Oh, Jack Nicholson. What's he drinking for Chris? I feel like whatever he's drinking, he's doing it on the sly. It's going in everything.
So something you can spike stuff with.
I think he spikes everything.
Yeah, yes. So maybe, like, what's a Christmas liqueur or something that you can put in your coffee, you can put in your eggnog, you can put in your, brandy?
Straight up bourbon.
Bourbon.
Put some bourbon in everything,
Just bourbon and anything.
I don't know what Jack Nicholson is normally doing on a daily basis, but I think he's drinking.
He's going to Lakers games, shooting some folks, and he's
definitely
being creepy.
I mean, he's always got the glasses on,
yeah,
and he's sitting courtside, so I think, he's got a little Christmas, maybe some smoke. A smoked mezcal.
A smoked mezcal.
That seems very, very festive. Like setting fire to a Christmas tree. I think he's something that Jack Nicholson would love to do.
And he does. I bet he does.
For fun.
I feel like that, in my head canon, Jack Nicholson he's like really into Christmas, but that's exactly what he does. He sets fire to a Christmas tree, maybe does some pagan rituals around it.
Basically a Grinch. A Grinch, in Laker fan form. He's the Grinch, and he's out there looking to burn your tree. I mean, he looks forward to like the weeks after Christmas when he can just go by, collect all the trees, and just have a huge, his own little version of the Burning Man. And so I think he would also drink something that tasted like it smells.
If Jack Nicholson was at Burning Man, how would he be dressed?
He would not.
He would not.
He would be dressed in the natural Jack Merkin.
In what God gave him.
Yep. But I'm sure he's got quite a bit of natural hair. And I do not. I'm sure he's much more naturally hirsute, whereas I
I'm
not. To bring it back. I think he could do that.
Leonardo DiCaprio. What is he drinking?
What does Leonardo DiCaprio drink? What is he not drinking?
In my opinion, if I were going to ask this, I feel like this is the guy who's going to be drinking like some sort of like peppermint martini or something that.
Yeah.
You know, like I see him, he's surrounded by supermodels, he's regaling them with a tale, and he's got something in a martini glass. That's how I see this.
Yeah, maybe something, or like a white Russian, maybe.
Okay.
Peppermint Russian.
A peppermint Russian.
You can do a lot. There are a lot of, I see a lot
it's
of
a
fizzy.
Peppermint Putin, if you will. I don't know.
Yes, a okay, yes, guy. Yes. I'll say yes. He's a Russian. With
it. Yes and, Keo. Yes and.
What I don't see Leonardo DiCaprio doing before, you know, or I do see him doing it, is just taking a big old slog of frothy eggnog, spiced
you
eggnog.
You don't see him going for the eggnog.
I could see him getting away with it, like telling a story, like, and so then I told him, you know, what he could do, gulp, and then leans in for a big juicy kiss.
Ugh.
From whatever random woman was just listening to him. I think he could get away with that.
Okay. Yep. That's fair. Yeah, so
whatever he's drinking, ladies, you're tasting.
That's probably the most accurate way you can put it. It doesn't. It's not so much what is Leonardo DiCaprio drinking as what are you tasting on his mouth after he aggressively macks on you.
So you would probably want it to be vodka-based then. Something that is like a little more cleansing, palate cleansing. You
yeah,
know,
sure. Breath, makes it keep you fresh.
Yes, yes.
I saw that Mythbusters.
So a peppermint vodka-type based drink would be okay. That's what I would recommend to any of those actors out there that are still macking on, you know, strangos.
Yeah, for the 5 minutes you have left to keep doing that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, this is your season. The mistletoe is your only excuse. So if you're going to be taking advantage of that, make sure you've got a good non-eggnog alcoholic drink.
Yeah, because eggnog, ugh. You don't want, milky. Like, milk is not a good thing when you're going to mac.
Milk and eggs.
See that sour.
Yep.
Dingy.
Thick. That coats the tongue.
Coats the tongue and the throat and whatnot. And that's all, ugh.
So, but yeah, there are a lot of nice, very pepperminty drinks you can have this time of year. I think that's
what
a lot
you,
of
if
options.
You, what's your favorite Christmas drink?
Well, winter drinks. So I'd say hot toddy. Hot toddy.
Hot toddy. Yeah, yes. I love a good hot toddy. I'm allergic to citrus, so without the lemon, which the bartender at our local bar is just like so hot whiskey honey water. Yes.
Hot whiskey honey water.
Hot whiskey honey water is what I like. Yeah,
it's good to sip. It's hot. You don't chug it, hopefully. I mean, unless you do, in which case, you're on a different level.
You are. That's a very good point. And,
but I like the hot toddy when I think winter or. Mm-hmm. You know,
I agree. I like a good hot toddy. There's something warm. You know what else I like? A mulled wine.
Mulled wine. Yeah.
Mulled wine. Listen, when you remember we were was it Australia? No, Montreal. We went to the Pointe de Calière.
Yes.
The museum. We went to this museum in Montreal, and afterwards we got some mulled wine and some pie. You remember that?
It's a wonderful combination, especially if it's the winter and there's ice.
Yeah, it's
and
cold.
Snow
you got a chill in the air. Let me tell you, if you're looking for something that you really want to get you in the holiday mood, that's it. I mean, mulled I felt like pie. I was, I was ready to sing Dahu Dore, all that jazz. It was.
Was that? They do what they sing in Montreal.
That's what they sing in the Grinch. I don't know what they sing
in Whoville.
All I know that they sing in Montreal is Allé, 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 Montreal. We went to a hockey game. They did a lot of scoring.
They did a lot of singing.
Yeah, well, and this validates to me one of the key problems in American culture.
Yes,
is that we don't sing enough. And, like, even when they score a goal in Canada, they sing. And you know, we also spent that time, we spent a summer in Northern Ireland. And you remember, outside of our apartment, often, there would be people coming back from a football game or whatever, and they would just be singing.
Yep, they're singing their chants and their rally calls, their rally songs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why we don't do that a lot.
We don't do But we do that at Christmas. That's the one time that we're like, listen, we have this, you know, songbook that we pull from, which
we're
leads
allowed to go around and sing as strangers,
aggressively sing at strangers,
singing at strangers, and it's okay,
and demand figgy pudding and whatnot, which leads into my next question. Christmas music. What are the staples you look forward to hearing this every year, and what are the ones that you're just like, I would give a limb never to hear this song again.
Oh, Well, and that's tough because sometimes you just hate a song so much, but you know you're going to hear it like Last Christmas by Wham.
I don't understand the hate for Last Christmas.
It just, the way it ends, it's like, it starts off so well, this Christmas gave you my heart, and it goes, and you're like, okay, yeah, but the very next day you gave it away. And you're like, what are they going to rhyme those verses with?
Well, then there's like internal
They
rhyme.
Don't know.
This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
And it just
doesn't have to rhyme.
Evidently it doesn't. And that's one thing I'm like, oh, that's right. This song doesn't rhyme. And so it's hard you can't even make up lyrics for Last Christmas because you would want to rhyme the lyrics because you're clever. Maybe not as clever as George Michael.
Yeah, you're gonna try to tell me you know better than George Michael. Listen, George Michael knows the hits.
He knows
how. Rest in peace. Died on Christmas, didn't he?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure it was on or around Christmas.
But that's one of the ones that I'm like, it's memorable to me because they play it every Christmas. But I don't necessarily think it's like my favorite song. It's just you hear it.
Yeah.
Or
I feel that it gets disproportionate hate. You know, like, people are constantly like, I hate this Christmas, or Last Christmas. I hate that, like, it's covered by so many people. And I'm like, okay, I love the Jimmy Eat World cover they play all the time.
Oh.
I love the Wham version. Yeah. Like, I have yet to get sick.
I do like to hear some of the classic ones. I mean, you can go Frank Sinatra or any one of the Bing Crosby songs. Mm-hmm, I feel like with White Christmas and some of the movies we've seen over the years, they kind of worked their way into our history of Christmas, which isn't that old.
Right.
Seriously.
Well, this is interesting. I actually saw a chart the other day.
Yeah.
And it was basically about how, like, basically we take Christmas as a time to just have nostalgia about baby boomers' youth. And it was showing, like, the top 20 Christmas songs were made between, like, 1947 and 1960, something like that.
Okay.
And like nothing that's in the top 20 Christmas songs made, including All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Everything. That's not even one of the top 20 most played ones. All of these are in this short span of our Christmas, like, nostalgia that we use for
baby boomers post World War II sort of Christmas songs.
Yeah. So we're all basically just trying to recreate boomer youth with Christmas every year.
Or somebody is. I get that. Yeah, that's that era. I like, but there are songs I do like. I do like, besides those, I mean, and the Mariah Carey Christmas these days, and there is a competition, or is it a competition?
It's like a challenge.
This is a challenge that Corey and our friends participate in. Unfortunately, I feel like it's going to be every year, which is the Mariah Carey Challenge. Maybe you want to just explain this.
Yeah, for the past 6 years, debacle. This was started by a good friend of mine named Hugh Hunter. I think during when he was still had his Helicast podcast. Mm. But basically the idea of the Mariah Carey Christmas Challenge is that you listen to All I Want for Christmas Is You the number of times of the date. So December 1st, you listen to it once. The 2nd, twice. The 3rd, 3 times.
It's not a short song.
Not a short song. It's like 3.5 minutes. It's not like an excessively long song.
It feels like a short, like an episode, like a short film. It goes so many places that after the first verse.
Yeah, there's a lot happening in it.
You're like, oh, it keeps, and then it turns, and then there's this plot twist, and then it comes back, and then is it the end? But it's not the end.
Mm.
And then eventually you get to the end. But by that point, you don't remember how it started again.
Or like who you are, what your name is, what
and
year it is.
Yes, it's infectious. It's an infectious song.
Very
and
infectious.
It's wonderfully performed. And she is a treasure.
It's true. Yeah, I agree on all accounts. Honestly, and this is the thing. We're on day 7 now.
Yes.
It is the 7th of December. I'm honestly not sick of it. I also, in 6 years of doing this, I don't know the words. There's still, like, entire sections of it I don't know the words to. And I love this song.
Is that just because of the crooning and the...
Yeah, a little ad. Get it.
Nailing it.
Yeah, you are.
Is it because of that?
Crushing this.
Because she just kind of threw some of the verses there.
Probably.
That's a singing technique I'm good at. That, you know, you kind of, you don't have to say the word. You just kind of lean your way through
just
there.
Just kind of let it happen.
And, just let it dribble.
You
out
know, you don't need words. You know? It's something that transcends.
Yeah.
Verbalization.
So like instead of Wham doing the verses they use, I wish he would have just like. But the very next day, then we would love it because you don't, if you're not going to, if you can't.
He could just hit that whistle register.
If you're not going to rhyme words, you might as well make it so no one else can sing.
It's the aha method, right? Like, yeah. You know, in Take On Me, where it's like half, nobody knows what he's saying. It's like, you know, I'll be gone.
Yeah, and you didn't have to have lyrics for that, but people assign lyrics.
Yeah, you assign like, whatever like for you want.
I'll be gone. How long is it gone? For a week or two or a day or two?
A day or two.
That's like something your parents say is like, oh, they head out the door as a kid. You're like, what?
Okay, I'll miss you.
Hard times.
Wah, wah.
So, I mean, okay, but my favorite Christmas album, and this, I think, our listeners will agree with, is the 1963 Phil Spector Christmas album. Phil Spector Christmas. Yeah. The best Christmas album of all times. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys said it was his favorite album of all time.
Not just Christmas, just
favorite album.
Album ever.
And he was kicked off the production of Santa Claus is Coming to Town because his piano playing wasn't up to par.
Brian Wilson.
He was kicked off the album.
He was not up to par for...
He tried it, and they didn't put him on the album, and yet he still thought it was his favorite album of all time.
That's... Wow.
You've got the Ronettes on there, mm-hmm. and you've got Darlene Love, and you've got some versions like Frosty the Snowman.
This is where we get like a lot of the stuff that you find in like Home Alone, right?
Yes. Phil Spector took these songs and gave it the Wall of Sound treatment, made this highly produced album, and so my favorite Christmas album of all time is the unfortunately named Phil Spector Christmas, or a very special Christmas album.
And for the record, it's unfortunately named because Phil Spector is also like an abusive criminal, essentially.
Yes.
This is what I'm, for the listeners, in case they don't know. I'm not telling you. I know you know this.
Yes.
That's all.
If you don't know who Phil Spector is, and
just
so
give him a little Wikipedia there. Yeah. But
you can look it up and see all the things that happened, and Al Pacino played him in a film on HBO a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with the wig and the whole...
Phil Spector's not Italian, right? I feel like he's pretty white.
Curly hair.
Big curly hair. Yeah, that's true. He's still alive, right?
Oh, yeah.
That guy, sure he'll never die. Hateful people never die.
Yeah.
They live forever. People live on spite forever.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's like Strom Thurmond. What was he, like 147 when he died? Lord. I'll tell you something.
Yoda had some anger issues. Yoda. That's why he lived so long.
That's a really good point. Methuselah. Lots of anger issues. I don't know.
Just
naming old people at this point. But I was actually reading something, and I don't even think it was about Christmas, but that actually brought up that that Phil Spector's Christmas album is just one of like the best albums of all time.
Yeah.
It's just every note hits, you know. Yeah. It was perfectly compiled with a great group of musicians and artists and singers and producers, and everything behind it was just kind of perfect.
But then on that album is probably one of my least favorite Christmas songs because it's got a long intro by Phil Spector, Silent Night, track 13. So on that album, he does a long intro where you get to listen to him. And
is he speaking?
He's speaking to you. Hi, this is Phil Spector. And he talks about Christmas. It's great. I'm sure go back 40, 50 years.
It's like watching Peanuts Christmas and having, like, is it Linus who monologues in that? Is that right? The one who gives the sermon in the Peanuts Christmas?
Yeah, but I mean, I like that part of what Linus does. But
I can't. This is when we're not there yet, but when we get to the point of talking about Christmas movies and things we don't like. Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah, he talks over some music, and then they go into Silent Night, which is a fine song, but introduced by Phil Spector, you know.
Who actually performs it?
Who does perform it? It might be the ensemble. It might be, okay. I don't know. I'd have to Google
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the intro overrides whatever else you would remember about the song then.
Yeah.
And Silent Night is a boring song, so I mean,
sure,
you really
it's the
have
way you
to...
end the song.
It's yeah, no Oh Holy Night. If we're going to talk about slow songs at Christmas, mm-hmm. top of the line, Oh Holy Night, specifically version from Home Alone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who sings, do you know who sings that?
It's like, it's a choir, I think, you know, it's just, and I'm trying to think, I'm like, I feel like the entire score to Home Alone is done by someone who's, who does John Hughes music in general. I'm not sure, okay. But the Home Alone soundtrack, the yeah. score in general is amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you can listen to that for days, but that version of Oh Holy Night that is in that is, it's beautiful, you yeah. know, and you said that it's got the perfect harmonies that are in it. Every time I listen to a version that's not that, I'm a little disappointed that it doesn't have the harmonies from that version. And you think of that scene, you know, where he's sitting there with the guy that he's terrified of because he thinks that he's like murdered people and all that kind of stuff. And then he opens up to him yes. about like the troubles he's having with his son. And this is the only opportunity he gets to see his granddaughter because he's not allowed to see them.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's like real moving moment.
Pretty strong. Yeah. It's a very emotional, segment and song. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure a different version of that is George Clooney's favorite. Oh Holy Night, that's the song that Trey Parker and Matt Stone covered in their Christmas email that went out. They gave us South Park, isn't it? Is it not?
I am not sure. Tell me about this.
That's all I know.
Well, I mean, what is this Christmas
isn't
email?
It Cartman, oh, so this Cartman is how... singing Oh Holy Night?
Okay. I don't know.
Oh.
Okay. This is how South Park started?
I thought so, yeah.
It was
a Christmas sort of a little meme that went, and he passed it around. He thought, this is hilarious. It's
and Clooney was the one who caught on.
Oh, it's George Clooney, for sure. Yeah, we wouldn't have South Park if Clooney didn't send it. We wouldn't have anything interesting from the 90s if Clooney wasn't somehow involved in it.
Which is weird, because, I mean, he wasn't that, like, I mean, he was kind of a big deal with ER or whatever, but you think about his career in the 90s.
It was his film career, yeah.
But, like, in the 90s, he wasn't that big a film star.
He was getting
Out of Sight's, like, 2000, isn't it?
Oh, no.
I want to say, because it's, like, in the 90s, he was, like, Roseanne, he was ER. He wasn't, like, hugely a big film star at that point.
He was busting out.
Maybe. Maybe my timeline's a little
maybe
off.
Maybe my timeline for South Park is off. How long have they been around?
Forever. I don't know. Okay. I mean...
The topic of a
You
different...
know what? You're right. I mean, if he was involved in this sort of thing, I remember when I was in middle school, so 96, 97-ish, that South Park was out. So I guess he must have been a thing more than I'm giving him credit for. I just think of him as not being like a big star until later on. But I guess, yeah.
Oh, Holy Night.
Oh, Holy Night.
By Cartman.
You know what else? There's also Oh, yes. Holy Crap by Strong Bad.
Oh,
oh, holy crap.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. I would love to hear that.
Oh, I'll play it for you afterwards. It's,
oh, my.
Yeah, that's a pretty delightful thing. Homestar Runner, if Homestar you... Runner. I mean, I don't know. I don't know my listener base here, but if you don't know Homestar Runner, you missed out on a good portion of the early 2000s. That was my high school career and so forth. And Strong Bad was a great character with lots of great holiday features, but Oh Holy Crap was
Oh Holy Crap
them. Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to make this part of our you know, our Christmas playlist.
Yeah, just put it on the Spotify's.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Hopefully they have that.
I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, they got Taylor Swift now, right? No.
That's yeah, if you can get Swifty. She just did it because she's salty about Katy Perry and she's shallow AF. Anyway, Taylor Swift hate aside, what Christmas song do you hate?
Besides the Phil Spector one.
Yeah.
Well, growing up, you know, all I listened to was contemporary Christian music.
Yeah.
And so, you know, or rock and roll, Christian rock and roll, and R&B, if there were those things. But probably the worst song was by One Bad Pig, Christian punk thrash metal group One Bad Pig, and their cover, their song, I guess, is original song called "It's Christmas Time," which just has the worst. You can go YouTube One Bad Pig, "It's Christmas Time," and it has like a really long, ridiculous, unnecessary story intro. I think a guy is going to go chainsaw down his Christmas tree. That's the setup, and then but it has just like this. Gets in your head kind of a chorus that goes, whoa, 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 it's Christmas time. And not nearly as bad or as good a singer as these guys are. They're fantastic. They're fantastic, you know, instrumentalists and everything. I mean, they're highly talented. But there's something about that chorus. I'm not sure if I just hate it, or just hate it just enough that I kind of like it because it's bad.
You're not your
but favorite, I don't like yeah. it. I don't like it. But then you didn't have a lot of options in yeah. the Christian punk rock Christmas songs.
Yeah, and you didn't the 90s. You didn't have no Napster. You didn't have Spotify. Oh, no,
nobody was stealing that.
Yeah.
They were
so weird.
They were giving it away.
Yeah, that's a yeah. I'd never heard of that one until you brought it up.
It's but, there. They did do there. They did do a cover. They recorded with Johnny Cash. That's probably the highlight
what?
Of their career. They recorded "Man in Black" with Johnny Cash.
What?
Back in the early 90s. That's their. I'm sure it would be the highlight of any musician's
career. Yeah, I mean that's pretty, especially for yeah. like. I mean, I'm pretty versed in Christian music, and I've never heard of this band. Mm-hmm. So for like a very obscure Christian band to have recorded with Johnny Cash, that's a big thing.
Yep.
I would say
punk thrash.
So it's kind of so you're that's Christmas. Like your favorite and least favorite wrapped up together.
Yeah, probably the worst Christmas because you can't play it for anybody. You're not putting that. That's not go. I mean, you can
can't
get
put that up in Starbucks.
You can put Twisted Sister Christmas sure. up once in a while, but no part of this song is going to make it onto like a Christmas
there's
playlist.
Nothing radio friendly.
As soon as it goes on, whoa, let's switch over to Mariah Carey. Oh, there's a Wham song in here somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's like yesterday. Also, we were in the ramen joint. They played like a very like sort of metal Christmas song, and yeah. they determined it was too much.
Too much metal.
Partway through, they just ditched it.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we can't. This is, it's going to make the, in the words of Renee Zellweger in Empire Records, make the customers all crazy-like.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So they
drinking their soup too fast.
Drinking the soup too fast. You don't want that to happen. Yeah. You got to enjoy your ramen. You got to savor that.
Yeah, you can slurp it.
You can slurp it, but you don't want to, not too fast.
Not so fast that you burn your
noodles in your arms?
Yeah, you know, you're just like slopping it all over your arms, your hands hold the bowl and the spoon, and if you're drinking too fast, then it'll get splash. Hot okay. splash.
Yeah, no, that's it's reasonable. I can see how that would be a thing. Yeah.
That pork is not coming out.
Yeah.
Pork burns.
My least favorite Christmas song it's a toss-up. There's like three, okay?
Three.
My three least favorite. You've got Mary, Did You Know?
Mary, Did You Know? Okay.
It's just nonsensical. Of course, Mary knew. The idea was that she was told that she was going to be having the Son of God, so it's just a silly concept in and of itself. That's my email. Just ignore it.
I thought it was like, every time
Mary,
you hear that
you know?
Sound... An angel gets its wings.
Yeah, every time you criticize Mary, Did You Know, God smiles.
Oh, clink, sends clink. A little email to Corey, and an angel gets its wings.
Well done, my good and faithful servant. Yeah. Mary, Did You Know. The Red Christmas Shoes. Here, the Red Christmas Shoes.
That's the song
There's like a movie about it, even. I think it's by a Christian band called New Song, and it's basically Ooh. Like this real depressing song about like a kid... Buying Ooh. These red Christmas shoes for his mother who okay. dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, it's but, horrible.
Because those stories were popular for anyone born around the Depression era. Any
but
Christian
this is, that's
the
Depression thing, it's
era.
Not like the Little Match Girl that's from that time. Like, yeah. where you're like, something like Little Match Girl, you're like, okay, life was horrible and dismal for these people. Yes. This song's from the 90s.
It was written in the 90s.
Written in the 90s. Yeah. It's just like a sad, terrible 90s Christmas song, which spawned not one, not two, but three Hallmark movies. The second one has a pre-coming out Neil Patrick Harris in it, who's like 32 and playing a 25-year-old. And
he could do
just,
it.
He can do anything.
He still can.
NPH can do it all. It's... Yep. absurd and terrible and just the most depressing thing, in which it also has the kid from 2 and a Half Men.
Oh yeah,
Angus P. Jones.
When
his
he was
name
a kid.
Is when he was like a yeah real small kid,
like a quarter of a man.
Yeah, yeah, a quarter man. And like in it, like that kid dies and another person dies and all, and it's just like everybody is dying
and that's
throughout
in
this
the song.
Entire Well, that's not even in the song. That's just like the, because this is the sequel. The first sequel movie is about like the song and the premise
so
of that.
So if the first kid dies with his red shoes.
Well, the first
one's
the mom dies.
Okay.
Not the kid.
I see. I see what this.
He buys the shoes. And so in the second one, Neil Patrick Harris is the kid from the first one.
Where do we know a story about a woman who dies wearing red shoes, Dorothy? Could this be?
Maybe there's.
The son of the Wicked Witch of the East?
East? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's an alternate history that I will read your fanfic.
Yeah.
I'm ready for you to write that. Mm-hmm. But so, red Christmas shoes.
So you don't
awful.
Feel bad about them dying. That's where I'm getting at, people. Okay?
Yeah, because
you don't feel bad.
It's an evil legacy. Yes. But then again, if you've watched
Whoever
Descendants,
puts on the red shoes gets hit by a house.
I've watched Descendants on Disney Channel, though, so I do have a little empathy for the children of these evil characters.
Oh.
That's neither here nor there. Red Christmas Shoes, terrible. Hate that song.
Okay.
Number one least favorite song that I just want to, like, hammer my head in. Can you guess? You know,
it's not the Mariah Carey song.
No, it's not Mariah Carey. What do you think it might be?
It's not done by a Beatle.
It is.
Okay, here
yeah,
we go.
It is. You know what it is?
Yes, I know which one it is.
What is it?
It's, I put it out of my mind.
Yeah.
I can't even.
Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas
that's the one.
Time.
Because there's nothing catchy about it.
It's the worst.
Try it right now. I can't think of a single verse.
Well, yeah, because it's like, and I don't know any of the words, but it's like, da na na na, da na na na, da na na na, da na na na, simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Oh, God.
It's not being ironic.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. There's nothing
catchy,
and yet they keep playing it.
Because it's Paul McCartney.
It's Paul McCartney. Listen, Paul McCartney has not made a single good song aside from the one with Michael Jackson since he was in the Beatles. I'm just going to throw that out there. He has made terrible music for the past 50 years, and we're just giving him a pass because he was a Beatle.
We don't have a lot of Beatles.
We don't.
We have.
Listen,
I
would listen to Ringo Starr for the rest of my life before listening to another Paul McCartney song, because he's the worst. Mm. You remember when he did the Super Bowl? It was like the most boring Super Bowl, because they had to make up for the fact that the year
Janet,
before had been Nipplegate.
Yeah, and Paul McCartney was not going to slip a nip.
He was not going to slip a nip. He was not going to do anything controversial at all. He was just going to stand there and sing boring.
Simply Have a Wonderful Super Bowl Time.
Yeah, and it was the worst. That was so boring.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the Super Bowl has ever really recovered since then, aside from the Beyonce one.
Oh, well, I thought the Prince year was.
Was that after?
Was it?
I can't. It might have been. Yeah, and he went.
Playing in the Rain.
And he had that guitar that, you know, it shot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the silhouette was very phallic and
okay,
very
so I'm
going to
say that's pre-Janet then.
I'm not sure. It might have been post. I'm not sure, but.
So many years have passed since then. Janet, come back.
That was Janet, come back. She's back.
Yeah.
Man, her tour, I saw some videos our friend Donna went and saw, and like, she's back. And she just had a child or two children. I'm not sure if it was one or two.
Wow.
She's 50 years old. She just had a baby.
She's keeping it tight.
Keeping it tight. She knows what's up.
Time to come back.
So, yeah. Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time.
Yeah.
Worst Christmas song ever.
I don't like any Christmas song that it's difficult to sing to or difficult to, to even remember. And then it hits you. You're like, oh. And then you're like, you can't sing along with it because you never cared for it that much, so it's just hitting you.
Yeah,
it's an assault. You want Christmas songs to be memorable and catchy, and also just something that it would be okay if that song were used maybe in a horror film or something. Then you can remember. Oh,
that's actually true. That'd be a great horror. Like if I could see an entire scene, like a very Patrick Bateman-y type scene, from American Psycho, where there's like a little bit of danciness to it as he does something horrible.
So it's like Clockwork Orange, that's what you're
talking about. Or Clockwork Orange,
Singing in the Rain,
You could absolutely do that with Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. Mm-hmm. Just like brutal murder as someone dancing. And also, the only person who could possibly love that song would be a sociopath.
Yeah.
So
it's right up their alley. It fits perfectly. Mm-hmm. So, maybe Snowman. I'm going to assume it doesn't have the song, because if it had the song with a horrific scene like that.
Oh, are you talking about Snowman, the Michael Fassbender movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe that would be,
That's what they were missing.
Top 10 Christmas movie if it were a anti-Christmas movie, like a Christmas horror film, which I thought it was like a winter
horror
film. Not horror, but a winter murder film.
Yeah, I don't know what that... They went wrong in a lot of places.
I don't know. I have no idea, because I haven't seen the movie.
That's because nobody saw that movie, because it was terrible.
Maybe we're missing out. Maybe this, maybe
I would like having this, a wonderful Christmas. This is Christmas the thing, is that it's like so terrible that I would like to see it. And that's the thing, is we don't know. We could be postulating about like what a great Songs Would Be for a Horror Movie, and it may very well be In the Snowman, and we just don't know because nobody has seen that movie. Yeah. As far as we know, that movie doesn't actually exist. The title card comes up, and it's just a blank screen for 2 hours.
A good Christmas movie. Oh! Did we talk about Christmas movies?
Not yet. No, we're not there. So that's the next step is, all right, so in the same vein, the worst and best Christmas movies. What do you need to see every year, and what do you want to avoid at all costs?
Well, I feel like I'm not going to... I need to see Christmas Story every year.
Yeah,
I don't need to watch 24 hours of it, but I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and that's the thing about it, is that 24 hours makes it so that, like, you don't even have to sit for an hour and a half or whatever for it to watch it. You just need to, piece by piece, see it over the course of the 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
I wouldn't switch Elf off the TV.
And they've started doing that. I think it's like TBS or TNT or one of those off channels. They do the 24 hours of Elf now, because that's a...
It's become a Christmas classic. Will Ferrell,
absolutely,
a Christmas treasure.
That's a great one. I love Elf. That was, for some reason, I remember I was very sick in Boston with Chelsea and Ben and Chelsea's family, and for some reason we kept seeing movies, maybe just because it was the only thing you could do with someone who was like dying at that moment. We went and saw Haunted Mansion, which I love, the one with Eddie Murphy. People are constantly making a thing about how terrible that movie is. I watch it every single time it's on TV. That's all I'm saying.
And it's a Christmas movie.
It's not a Christmas movie. It's a Halloween movie. But
that makes sense.
Also, we went and saw Elf
on
that trip. And, like, it was immediately even... I was like, maybe it's because I'm delirious and I have a 104-degree fever. But this is the best thing I've ever seen. And ever since, but I'm like, now I watch it, I'm like, no, this is enduring. Everyone loves Elf. I question you if you don't love Elf.
Yeah. Well, growing up, I loved to watch like the cartoon version of The Grinch, or you know, some of those old, you know, the old claymation ones like Frosty or Rudolph.
Did you ever see, because this would have been a little after your time, but did you ever see Claymation Christmas?
No, never saw that.
Oh, I have to show you this because it's we'll watch this at some point. Claymation Christmas was the movie or special, I should say, when I was a kid. It was a I had a VHS tape that had the Garfield Christmas, you know, the one where he gets the gift that keeps on giving, and it's like just keeps feeding him lasagna and whatnot. It's a fantastic one. And then had the Claymation Christmas, and it basically Claymation Christmas is hosted by two dinosaurs, one of which I'm convinced looks like Mike Rowe. You can watch
Mike
it with me
Rowe.
And you'll be like, yeah, that dinosaur looks like Mike Rowe.
Dirtiest Jobs.
Or Dirty Jobs, even.
Dirty Jobs.
Every scale of job that is dirty.
Mike Rowe.
These two dinosaurs host it, and like one of them's kind of an idiot and one of them's like a normal broadcaster. And then there's just all these segments where like they sing different songs. So there's like the California Raisins singing We Three Kings, and there's like a the Carol of the Bells is done by Bells, and one of them's like dopey and keeps like messing everything up, and like it is just, it hit. If you watched The Claymation Christmas when you were a kid, it's one of your favorites, just guaranteed.
What year do you think that came out?
I'm gonna say probably 89 or 90. Like,
it might have been something that was on TV and I didn't catch.
Right? Yeah, and I have no
California Raisins were everywhere.
Yeah, California Raisins.
They were,
I remember,
all over TV back
my
then.
My dad went out to California to visit his family, and he brought me back a California Raisins wallet.
Ooh.
And it was my prized possession. I still, to this day, can remember what that wallet smelled like, what it looked like, everything about that. And I mean, I got a quarter a week for allowance, so it's not like I had a lot to put in
purse.
That thing. But it had a coin purse in it. So it was like a wallet, but it had a little button coin thing in it. So I put all my little quarters in there, you know, and go to CVS, get my lollipop and be like, oh, let me pull it out of my California Raisins wallet from California. That's Have you heard cool. of it?
Wow. Yeah. You're a pretty cool kid.
That's right. I am.
Yeah. Your money's no good here. Get out of my store with that
Y'all better recognize. Y'all better recognize.
It's a wallet with sunglasses.
Well, it had the raisins.
California raisins. Yeah, I'm saying they wore sunglasses.
They did wear cool. sunglasses. Yeah, they were cool. Yeah. So, Claymation Christmas. I mean, like, yeah, that's how this is. That's a big deal. They got the California raisins. That's a big get for 1989 for or whatever. Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's memorable. So I'll have to show it to you.
I'll have to watch that one. Yeah. I enjoyed those. I mean, here's another one that I want to see because, I mean, it is a Christmas movie. Of course, Die Hard. You know, of course, Die Hard's a great Christmas time movie. But Gremlins.
Mm.
I mean, the whole premise of Gremlins is he wants to find his son a gift that, you know, a special gift, and which is the Mogwai. So, yeah. I mean, it is a Christmas movie that I think is worth visiting. It's been too long for me. So maybe
it was
you
know, you missed it. It was playing at the gym 2 weeks ago. They had it. That was like, or even like a week ago, I guess. It was how they started December. They played Gremlins.
Oh yeah, yeah. And so they're in the know. They know.
They know it's a Christmas movie. I don't understand people who always want to like say things like Die Hard and Gremlins are not Christmas movies. Someone the other day posted a status that was like, Gremlins is the new Die Hard is a Christmas movie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it is though. There's no reason to reject it as a Christmas movie. It takes place at Christmas. That's the whole impetus for the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And it maintains that sort of Christmas atmosphere for it. It may not have been made again for the baby boomers, but it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
You know, what else would it be?
The same argument I have for Pieces of April being one of the best Thanksgiving movies.
one of the only Thanksgiving movies, to be fair, so the bar is very low.
Underappreciated Katie Holmes in the lead as April, just trying to make a good Thanksgiving dinner for her family, Patricia Clarkson and Oliver Platt.
Yeah, it's been...
Starring Sisko. Here's one thing you should know.
Sisko.
I mean, you can disparage that film all you want because it was made for $100,000, but Peter Hedges, who wrote What's Been Eating Gilbert Grape, and What's Eating Gilbert Grape? He got paid $10 to direct and another $10 to write the screenplay.
Hmm.
And all the actors, including Katie Holmes and Sisko, got paid $248 a day.
Wow.
So that they could make that film. So remember that the next time you're disparaging one of the best, probably the best, Thanksgiving film of our era.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That too, you're right. But for a much larger budget, I'm going to say, than Pieces of April. So for the money, I think Pieces of April is coming out ahead.
Fair enough. You know, and just because I love Miss Meadows so much, I finally will concede a little bit of this to you.
Oh,
you
know, Ray Donovan. Her character on Ray Donovan, too.
That's true, with the braces.
Yes.
Which is just unsettling.
Katie Holmes has come into her own. And I knew that star was rising years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were ahead of the curve. I'll grant that.
When I saw her in a underappreciated Thanksgiving film, holiday film, called Pieces of April,
He's been trying to convince me of this for 10 years.
I knew she'd get here. She'd get... And
it was bound to happen.
Now she's
look
here.
Look at her now.
No turning back. Pieces of April 2? Could there be?
Will society allow it?
Oh, good Lord. Peter Hedges, if you're listening, get together. I know Katie's listening, so the two of you get together and let's talk sequel.
Sequel. Yeah, that's
Thanksgiving this time. Not Thanksgiving. Christmas this time. Christmas. A Christmas sequel to Pieces of April.
Mm.
Perfection.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've started something great.
Yeah. This could be the start of something good.
Is that a Christmas song?
No, that's High School Musical.
Oh, okay. I was like, simply.
Yeah, you were in it. You were getting in there, though.
Wonderful Christmas time. You can end any bad song
with
that verse.
Okay.
But
calm down. High School Musical is not bad.
Oh, okay. You're right. Yep. Totally right.
My unpopular opinion on Christmas movies I don't like is It's a Wonderful Life. I love old movies.
Yeah.
Love class. Love Jimmy Stewart, the whole nine. That movie traumatized me as a kid.
It's kind of scary. It's a scary film.
Everything about it was terrible. Like, that was more of a horror. I watched horror movies when I was a kid. That was more of a horror movie than anything else to me. Like, I just, it was sad and it was scary. And it was, I just remember him like getting slapped in the ear and that being like really traumatic to me. Mm. Everything about it was.
It didn't hit off well. And if it wasn't for being in the public domain, we wouldn't have it like we do. I mean, it hit the public domain.
Right. Everyone played it. It's cheap for everyone to keep playing.
Every station could play it and it became a Christmas favorite, but it wasn't until that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't believe it was. I believe it just got play because it was free.
Yeah.
Everyone could, every place could show it.
Yeah. I just, that movie is horrifying to me. And it's just, yeah, it's stressful, it's scary, it's sad.
No.
And what redemption you get out of the last 10 minutes of it does not balance out the horror show of the first 2 hours of it.
It's a wonderful life. But you get that. You get people like me doing bad Jimmy Stewart impressions saying, oh, it's a wonderful life.
And then every time
an angel, you know, gets its wings from the...
Yeah, I think we should just watch Harvey every Christmas, personally.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Let's replace It's a Wonderful Life with Harvey.
But this time, let's paint in a Harvey so that we can so that we see what Jimmy Stewart sees. And imagine what that would be.
How dare you? How very dare you? I will say, though, I was watching Harvey again recently. One of my favorite movies. I love that movie. I was watching it recently. Jeff Goldblum would make the perfect update to Harvey. I'm not saying anyone should ever remake Harvey, but if they did, if someone deigned to do so, Jeff Goldblum is Elwood P. Dowd.
Well, he'd certainly fit the suit. He's got the lankiness and the,
Well, and it's that very, Jeff Goldblum, the thing about him is he's so complimentary of people and he's so optimistic and upbeat, and that's exactly what Elwood P. Dowd is he's just, he has that line in it where he says like, my mother always told me, Elwood, in this life, you can be oh so kind or oh so smart or oh so pleasant.
Mm.
I have chosen pleasant, you may quote me, or something like that,
Yeah.
I butchered it a little bit, but it's something of that nature. And I feel like that's very Jeff Goldblum. Like, you can be, like, cynical, you can be smart, you can be all this, or you can be pleasant. And he's chosen to be pleasant. And it's the entire, like, just persona of Elwood P. Dowd, I feel, is Jeff Goldblum. So if I were making it, studio came to me and they were like, we would like to remake Harvey.
Or if you're listening, Mr. Goldblum, this perhaps is a vehicle for you.
Yeah.
If you're not already pursuing it, you heard it here.
You heard it here.
Yeah.
You heard it here.
That's a great idea. I get behind that. I think that'd be a top winter film that people would look forward to. Like, did you hear Jeff Goldblum is going to do this Christmas classic? Or this story.
I mean, it's not really a Christmas classic, but
they could do it during Christmas.
Anything old can potentially be a Christmas
classic. I guess,
classic.
It'd be better to just call it an Easter classic because it stars a
bunny.
Giant bunny. I mean, right on the nose there.
It is. It's a little on the nose, but I think it could work.
That's what you need these days, though, to knock it out of the park, to make a big Easter hit. You got to have that, got to reinforce, it's a trifecta of, stars, story, and holiday. That's how you get them.
That's how you nail it.
Because people are on vacation, like, what are we going to see? Well, we should go see an Easter film.
Go see a Star Wars.
Well, a Christmas Star Wars if it's Christmas, or a Christmas Easter film like Harvey since it's Easter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. That's you time your premiere. Easter weekend. Oh, did
an angel just got its wings?
Did we disparage that song?
Apparently. It's a beautiful thing. So on that note, thank you, Keo, for discussing those things
with me. Thank you for letting me. I enjoyed it so much.
A pleasure.
Yes. Christmas.
All right, everyone, from Topics of Great Importance, Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year's.
Amen.